Line, all of our finest minds just left the room. Yeah, junior high, you're going, aren't you? Yeah, for sure. Go for it. Shine, shine, shine. Yeah. Okay, so one day a farmer and a king died at the same time, showed up at the pearly gates. And St. Peter said, you two have both been really good men, but heaven's a little crowded today, and so I can only let one of you in. So what I need you to do is to do whatever you do best. I want you to show me what you can do, and I'm going to pick which one of you gets in to heaven today. So the farmer planted a pear tree from seed. He put it in the ground. He nurtured, cared for it, raised a huge pear tree that produced gigantic, incredible pear fruit. St. Peter said, that is amazing. So then he turned to the king and he said, Your Majesty, show me what you can do. Well, the king walked over to a toilet and flushed it, came back and stood before St. Peter. St. Peter said, The king, your majesty, welcome into heaven. And the farmer's like, what just happened? How could that be? I raised a pear tree with this gorgeous pear fruit, and all he did was flush the toilet, and you let him in? St. Peter said, sorry, a royal flush beats a pear any day. That was so dumb. It was funny, I know. You take that back to your workplaces where they're all telling dirty jokes, you can tell a clean one. All right. So we're in a series on discipline in the darkness. And discipline, the Bible says self-discipline is a fruit of the Spirit. And so as we grow as followers of Jesus Christ and yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, we have the graces available for us to grow in this area of self-discipline. But then also there's our part there's the grace of God that comes to us that we have to lay hold of, but there's our part as well. Paul says, I discipline my body. He says, I discipline my body to keep it in subjection to me. There's things I do that are good for my health, physically, spiritually, in every way. And I do these things. And so this series was born out of really a number of weeks ago when I saw in Isaiah chapter 60 that this passage that he wrote, the prophet wrote, was about our day. It was about this day that we live in now. And it's an exciting picture of our day, but it's also kind of an ominous one. There's an ominous element in it. And so he wrote, and he said, Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. I love that we were singing a little bit ago, your glory is so beautiful. God's glory is so beautiful. But let me tell you, the amazing thing is God wants to shine his glory through your life, his beautiful glory through your life. And he says, so God inspired Isaiah to write these words, and it said, Arise, shine, your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, and this is the ominous part of this passage, darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. Which we're in a time of deep darkness. There's no question about it. Later in the New Testament, there's a passage that says, in the end times, perilous times will come. People will be lovers of self. We see that today. But the Lord, Isaiah wrote, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. It's an incredible promise, and it's an exciting one. And so we've been talking in this series about the discipline that's involved in putting God first Discipline means we have to remind ourselves of these things. They might not be natural. You might think, well, I've heard that before. Put God first. I'm telling you, when it comes to the disciplines that's where the word disciple comes from the word discipline, a follower of Jesus Christ. When it comes to these things, we have to be reminded. We need to come back to them. I do, you do, we all do. And so we talked about putting God first. We talked about guarding our attention in these days when there's so many voices and messages from multiple directions vying for our attention. We talked about guarding that. We talked about the Word and letting the Word of God transform our lives. This Word that can literally transform a culture, it can transform your life. We saw how the Word spoke to our sister earlier who shared Bethany in her testimony. Today I want to talk about why the discipline of praise is important. And I want to start this out with a question. Do you know that your words give power to someone else? That they create, if you will, thrones almost. Not almost, because it's in the Bible, and I'm going to share it in a moment where that is. It seems like, wait a minute, I can give a throne, I can enthrone someone else, I can release power to someone else. Well, I have a picture here coming, I think, of this is an image of when King George IV was being coronated. He was being enthroned. The Archbishop of Canterbury placed the crown on his head, and when King George was coronated, there was a release of authority and royal authority and power to then rule in that kingdom. When Queen Elizabeth ascended to the throne, the same thing happened. The Archbishop of Canterbury, like the priest of priests in the Church of England, coronated her, put the crown on her head. If Prince Charles ever ascends to the throne, the same thing will happen. You can enthrone someone. In fact, even in a perfect democracy, this isn't a great illustration, but a perfect illustration. But we have been given the authority to vote as citizens of the United States, and when we give praise to a certain candidate and express it by voting, and if enough people do, that person will be enthroned in power, whether it's in the Senate or the House or the presidency or whatever. We give power away in that way. You can enthrone someone, and it's in the Bible. And who we choose to enthrone will make a huge difference. Who we choose to empower will make a big difference in our lives. It's a daily discipline. It's not one thing, something we do once. It's something we do daily, and it affects our life. And where does this come from? I'm going to just talk about three little topics related to this. The first one is, who are you enthroning or empowering? I'm asking this question. Psalm 22, this is from the words of David in the Old Testament. He says of God, "You are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted you. They trusted, and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed." How do you express trust to God? You praise him. You focus on who he is. When you're going through a challenge and a difficult circumstances, the way you express trust is to focus on his character, that he's good. God, you're good. You're mighty. You got this, God. I trust you. Those are expressions of praise. It's not that he gets his power from us, but we release his power through our praise. It says you are enthroned. Lord, you are enthroned in the praises of your people. So you have a problem, a challenge, a disappointment, a major cause of stress in your life. You've been rejected, whatever it might be. Let's illustrate that by this garbage can here. You guys, I'm sorry. Can't see that so well over there, can you? You all right with that? All right. So that garbage can, these are the challenges that confront you. when you give praise to God, you're enthroning him over these circumstances. When you're facing difficult times and you praise him anyway, out of a trust that's in your heart. This isn't a formula. It's a trust in your heart. That's what faith means, to trust him. When you entrust him with these circumstances and you worship and praise him, you are releasing him to begin to work in those in amazing ways. Just like when that king is coronated and a crown's placed on his head, in that moment, he's given authority. Whatever challenges face that nation, whatever difficulties that come about, he's now has the authority to begin to make changes in that situation once he's enthroned. Until then, he's just a royal figure in the house. But once he's enthroned as the king, using that illustration in government, then he can begin to make effect changes. David said of God, you are holy and you're enthroned when your people praise you. The Bible says that Christians are a royal priesthood. We may not be the Archbishop of Canterbury, but we are a royal priesthood. And you enthrone him when you praise him. When you give him praise, you're enthroning him over the challenges and problems that you face. You're releasing the dominion of Jesus Christ into that situation in a powerful way. The inspiration for this message actually came from a word I listened to a few weeks ago by Pastor Bill Johnson at Bethel. I was watching it, and some things he said began to inspire this word. And I just felt it was so powerful to me. I'm like, Lord, I need to spend some time with this and let you process it in me, and I want to bring this out because this is a word for us today. But here's a question for you. If God is enthroned in the praises of his people, if God is enthroned when we praise him, despite the fact that we're going through tough times, then who is enthroned when we complain, gripe, criticize, gossip, curse? Who's enthroned then? Is that just meaningless? Does it do nothing? I would tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says, it's got real quiet in there right there, that moment. It got real quiet in here. Because our words have power. The Bible says there's life and death in the power of the tongue. James chapter 3 talks about it. I'm going to share what the Bible says about that. When we respond to our challenging circumstances in negative ways, we release the demonic is what we do. We're enthroning someone else into that situation. We're wreaking havoc. We're opening the door to more havoc. James 3 is a powerful passage about the human tongue. The human tongue. And it says, beginning in verse 9, sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, speaking of the tongue, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. There are results that are born out of the words of our mouth. The earthly negative responses to earthly circumstances has consequences. It has consequences in our relationships, in our work life, in our thoughts, our actions, in future circumstances. James goes on in that passage to say when he's talking about this fresh water or bitter water can come out of our mouths, he's like we're releasing wisdom from either above or below, and the wisdom from below is unspiritual and it's demonic. And he says, and it releases specifically, he says it will it will result in disorder and evil of every kind. That's not what I want to release when I'm going through tough times. I don't want to release more evil of every kind and more disorder. But we enthrone him with the praises of our mouth. James says that when we release that wisdom from above, he says we plant seeds of peace and will reap a harvest of righteousness. When I don't understand what I'm going through, when I don't get it, when it makes no sense, but I give him praise and just say, Lord, I trust you. I know you are good. No matter what's coming against me, my heart is with you. I want your presence. There's nothing better than you, I think we just sang a few minutes ago. There's nothing more important to me than you. Paul said, my life is hidden in Christ with God. It's no longer I that live, but Christ in me. That's all I want, Christ in me, the hope of glory. I love that song we sing here sometimes, yes, I will. Yes, I will. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy. All my days, except the bad days. No, all my days. Yes, I will. I choose to praise. You hear that? I choose to praise. I choose to praise. I choose to praise. I choose to praise and glorify that name above all names, however it goes. I'm sorry. There's an old hymn. I was thinking about it this morning. Oh, just left me. Did I write it down in here anywhere? Oh, well. Oh, yeah. I know I was thinking of it. I was thinking about crowns and that hymn, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Oh, wait, you can crown him? Where did that come from? You're enthroned on the praises of Israel is where it came from. The Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake, my soul, and do what? Give praise and sing. Awake, my soul, and sing. See, I crown him with many crowns. I've sung that song 1,000 times in my life, probably, and it never hit me till early this morning. What it's saying, I crown him with many crowns when I praise him. When life stuff, junk is coming at me, that's when I'm crowning him Lord of all. Amen. Thank you. I'm glad someone is awake in the house. Second topic I want to hit today is our only chance to bring a sacrifice of praise is in this life. The Bible speaks of a sacrifice of praise. Now, it speaks of that to a people who's, when you said the word sacrifice, what would come to their mind? What would come to the people of Israel's mind when talked about sacrifice? Killing an animal or bringing the first fruits of your increase, bringing your best to the Lord and giving it up, surrendering it to him. And the Bible says, bring a sacrifice of praise. Offer a sacrifice of praise. The word offering, to define the word offering, is it's something sacrificed or something given to God. That's pretty self-evident. The word sacrifice, I looked up the definition of the word sacrifice, to offer to God something precious. God looks at your praise as precious to him. To offer to God something is precious to us. It has to be precious to us or it's not a sacrifice. To surrender something for the sake of something else. That's why this topic belongs in the series on discipline, because we have to remind ourselves of this continually. We have to encourage one another. The things, New Testament says, the things I have spoken to you, pass on to faithful people who will in turn teach others. We've got to keep passing this on. We've got to keep reminding us, ourselves and one another, of these things. We go to the gym. It's a discipline for our physical health. We don't like it. Our flesh doesn't like it. But if you do it, you do it because you know there's something that's higher than there's something better than the pain I'm going to experience when I'm in the gym. And when we don't feel like offering a sacrifice of praise, we're doing it because of who he is and because it's good for our spiritual health to do that. What are some of the times when you don't feel like offering praise to the Lord? When don't you feel like it? When you don't feel good? When you've been hit with some critical remark, some rejection? Something very disappointing happens. Man, you had your hopes up so high and then boom, got pulled out from under you. You don't feel like praising Jesus in that moment. You don't feel like it. You don't feel like it when you've been rejected. You don't feel like it when these mammoth financial bills are hanging out over you and you don't know how you're going to pay them. You don't feel like worshiping Jesus when there's this stress all weighing on your mind. But only on this earth will we have the chance to offer a sacrifice of praise. Because in the next life, praising him is going to be easy. But when we do, we're enthroning him. He's enthroned on the praises of Israel. The last topic I want to hit on related to this today, this topic of praise, is that your praise, I want to talk about your praise and the gates of heaven. Revelation chapter 21 is speaking about the new city of Jerusalem. The new city of Jerusalem. And it says in Revelation 21:21, the 12 gates of the city were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was of pure gold, like transparent glass. How are pearls formed? Friction, irritation. So a grain of sand gets into an oyster shell, and the oyster, in defense of itself, in self-defense, for its good, For its good, it says, I'm going to pour something on this irritant, on this difficult thing that just entered my world. I'm going to pour something on it. And it secretes this thing, this substance. It's called nacre, N-A-C-R-E. And then this irritation continues, and it says, I'm going to pour some more on that. And I'm going to pour some more on that. And he keeps pouring some more on that. And this nacre builds up on it and is hardened, and it creates this beautiful, beautiful item that we admire and call a pearl. And God says in the New Jerusalem, the gates will be made of pearl. Well, will there be irritants in heaven? Did he just put that word in there, pearls, because he thought pearls are pretty and he thought it would be nice to have the gates made of? Or was he trying to tell us something? Was he trying to tell us that maybe we have a part in developing the gates of heaven through our response to irritants in our life now, in this life? Do we make a difference? Does our worship and praise matter in the consequences that result? The gates are pearls. Wikipedia says, a natural pearl forms when an irritant works its way into a particular species of oyster. You have never had any irritants work into your life, I'm sure. This is a different species, after all. As a defense mechanism, the mollusk secretes a fluid to coat the irritant. Layer upon layer of this coating is deposited on the irritant until a lustrous pearl is formed. Do you think the Holy Spirit put that in the Bible for a reason, that the gates were made of pearls? The sacrifice of praise is like that. We feel one thing. Man, what a letdown. What a disappointment. This wasn't what I dreamed of. Oh, those bills. How am I going to pay those? That person dumped me. Oh, what am I going to do with that? How am I going to respond to that? Oh, I messed up again. I made another mistake. Where do I go after that? I'm sorry about it. What am I going to do next? Maybe I'll praise the one who died on the cross for my mistakes. You see, by choosing to praise him, we're building something beautiful. And even the gates of heaven are built of pearl, and I believe it means that we're a part of doing that. Our response matters. But I also want to say this about the gates. The gates are two-way. The gates of heaven are two-way. There's a song we used to sing back in the 80s, a little chorus. It's taken right out of Psalm 100, verse 4. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, enter into his courts with praise. It's about us coming through the gates. And how do we come through the gates? With thanksgiving, with praise. We come into the God, to the presence of God with praise. But then there's another passage that talks about God coming through the gates. The gates are two-way. Psalm 24, verse 7 to 9 says, lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you everlasting door, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. And that's what we want, amen? When stuff comes at us in the garbage can of life. And listen, I'm not saying this like in a I love life. I'm thankful for my life. But there's stuff that comes at us. There's challenges. We will never stop having challenges to our faith. We will never not have steps of faith to take. But when it comes at us, what we want is God coming through the gate and helping us. We want the Lord mighty in battle to be coming against our enemies. We want the Lord strong and mighty on our side when we're disappointed, when we're grieved, when we're hurting, when we're in physical pain, when we're in a difficult relationship, when we messed up again. We want the Lord mighty in battle coming through the gates. Who opens the gates? We open the gates by praise and worship. We come into the gates with thanksgiving and praise. We build the gates, if you will, I believe, by responding to these irritations with praise and worship. That's why when we get there, the gates will be made of pearl. Oh, this is better stuff than you're letting on. Who are we putting on this throne? Phyllis, if you would come, and Coley, if you're available. Do you have that song ready? Okay. He inhabits the praises of our people. He's enthroned in the praises of Israel, his people. Who are we putting on the throne? We can let fears in our life dominate our thinking and give the enemy the throne. We can complain and gripe and cuss and criticize people who are imperfect just like you are and I am. We can criticize. What are we doing? We're unleashing havoc. The demonic to grow and in influence. Or we can enthrone him, Lord of all. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Paul wrote to this precious church, these precious believers. He said, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So I want to close by acting on this word. I want us to practice something. We're going to take that song, Yes, I Will. Amen. And I wanted you to think, just close your eyes for a minute before we start singing. I want you to think about what are the most difficult challenges before you now? Are they related to just the cultural tension of COVID and politics? Is that what's troubling you the most? Is it personal? Is it a relationship that's you're struggling with? Is it a loved one who's far from God? Is it financial bills? Are you going through some physical challenges? Are you just not feeling well? It's tough to be cheerful when you just don't feel well. Paul said, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God. God, what's your will for my life? Here it is. Rejoice always. Pray unceasingly. Give thanks always. So, whatever those situations are that have come before your mind right now, picture, just stand and picture this garbage can in front of you for a moment. But then put your eyes on Jesus Christ. Put your eyes on him and say, Lord, I choose to praise. Yes, I will worship you. Why don't you stand with me? Let's enthrone him. He's enthroned on the praises of Israel. The same God never fails, will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God is never late, is working all things out. Working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high. In the lowest valley, yes, I will bless your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Yes, I will all my days. Yes, I will. I choose to praise. To glorify the name of all names. Nothing can stand against. I choose to praise. To glorify the name of all names. Nothing can stand against.
Yes, I will.
And yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will. Bless your name. And yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Yes, I will all my days. Yes, I will. I choose to praise. Against, and yes, I will lift you high.
Yes, we will. Yes, we worship Lord. You. Yes, we will honor and praise you with our words. We enthrone you. We enthrone you, Lord, as King of Kings with our praise this day.
Lord, I just pray concerning each need that was represented here in the minds and the emotions and the hearts of your people, that those that are here, those that are watching online. Lord, you're speaking to us. You're saying, lift me up. Open the gates. I'll come in. I'll come in. Watch me move. My arm is not too short that it can't save. Let me come in. Thank you, Lord. I just pray, Lord, for release of power in every one of those situations, for healing, provision, grace, wisdom. You've got it all, Lord. You've got everything we need. You've got everything we need. Hallelujah. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. God bless